Everybody, can I have your thank you very much. I'm sorry for the short delay. Thank you for joining us for the school construction hearing before the Board of Public Works. Before we get started, some of you may have heard we had a shooting situation in Harford County in Abingdon, a workplace shooting. We have three dead and two in critical condition and shock trauma with gunshot wounds to the head. I just got off the phone with County Executive Glassman and with Sheriff Gaylor. The State Police and the MDTA are assisting the Sheriff's Department. The FBI is also on the scene. We have two helicopters in the air, our State Police fugitive teams. We have other troopers from three different barracks there. The killer remains on the loose. He was last seen heading towards Cecil County, towards Elkton, close to the Delaware line. And I just wanted to let everybody know that that was happening, number one. The state is providing every possible assistance to the local government. My thoughts and prayers are with the people, the families of those who lost their lives and have been injured. And we're going to try to continue with the hearing. If I have to duck out of here, we'll continue with my two colleagues without me if I've got to get pulled away, but I think everything's under control at this point. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the Board of Public Works school construction hearing. In the past years, the BPW heard presentations from the local school systems in late January after the administration had already finalized its capital budget. So with this revised schedule, now school systems will have the opportunity to share your priorities with us before we submit the FY 2019 budget, which to me just makes a lot more common sense. This BPW has the responsibility for overseeing school construction. The IAC is an agent of the BPW and is charged by us with making recommendations on funding priorities. The Board of Public Works will continue to provide fiscal oversight and make final decisions on the expenditure, taxpayer dollars, in an open and transparent manner. Now, before we get into the presentations, I also want to say we're going to reinstate a practice that for some reason stopped happening. But today we're going to recognize schools that earned a rating of superior on the 2017 maintenance survey. Nine schools achieved that score, so when we have the school systems coming up throughout the hearing today, we're going to recognize those school systems and make a presentation to them. I also want to thank and congratulate Bob Gorell for completing and submitting the FY 2017 school maintenance report on time. It's a great improvement. In the past, these reports were typically repeatedly submitted months and even years late. So thank you, Bob, for the great job you're doing and for recognizing the importance of getting these maintenance reports to us on time. Normally, we go through this agenda in alphabetical order. However, in order to accommodate certain school systems' time constraints, we have agreed to change the order. So we're going to go ahead and get started with Talbot County. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Kelly Griffith, the superintendent for Talbot County Public Schools. Thank you so much for having me here today. Before I begin, I would also like to thank Mr. Gorell for spending some time this summer at our Easton Elementary School complex, both Dobson and Moton, and also Easton High School. Thank you so much for coming as soon as you got here to tour those buildings. And I believe that's a superior way for us to introduce ourselves to you and you to us. So thank you very much. I do appreciate that. Today I also have with me my Vice President of my Talbot County Board, Susie Hayward. I have Representative Johnny Mounts. I also have my Assistant Superintendent Lynn Duncan and Kevin Schaefer, who is our Plant Operations and Maintenance Manager. I'd like to begin. I know we start with our brief summary of challenges, but I'd like to begin with a one-minute history that might serve us well as an introduction to Talbot's second cycle of renovation projects. In the late 1980s, Dr. Lever and Dr. Stensler assisted John Massone in the development of aggressive 10-year strategic facilities plan to renovate every one of our failing buildings. The TCPS renovation cycle began in the early 90s with excellent support from the state and even more support from our county government. We indeed completed the renovations of all schools by 2009. The two buildings that we are here to talk about in the FY19 and FY20 cycle are the two buildings that reside on the Easton Elementary School campus. This is an unusual campus. It has serves over 1,000 students, P3 through grade 5. The Moton Building was constructed in 1953 to serve as the Black High School of Talbot County, which later transitioned to the Career Technology Center. And the Dobson Building was constructed in 1958 to serve as an elementary school and continues to serve our younger children, P3 through grade 1. The challenges that we have in Talbot County is we have 600 miles of waterfront, so we have a very unique demographic when it comes to geographic parts of the county, but we also have an ever-changing population shift. Just to let you know, our farm students, our free and reduced meal students, have increased from 27% to 44% just in the past 10 years. Our English language learner population has increased 200% since 2007. We currently have 10% of our students receiving English language learner services and 20 languages spoken in our homes, which then when you look in a building, you look at the inside of the building. How will you utilize the inside of your building? I was the principal, the very proud principal of Easton Elementary School, the Moton Building, and I served as principal there for 6 years. So I did live this life in this building, and I can attest to you that every closet and conference room for instructional purposes are used on a daily basis. As a matter of fact, we cook the food at the Moton Building for the 400 children across the parking lot at the Dobson Building, and then we cart the food across the parking lot on a daily basis. It is time for this project to move forward. Talbot County Public School faces relatively flat, somewhat slight increases of projections, but we are challenged to meet the needs of this shifting population. This can be especially challenging for small counties with limited resources and unique geographical requirements. Consistently high enrollments at our outlying schools, because we have redistricted as much as we could to take students. We actually have students that live in Easton, and they go to school at an outlying school so that we aren't so crowded in our elementary school. Our Bay 100 area, for those of you that may know, we actually, where Easton Elementary School is housed, the people that live across the bypass that can see the school, we send them all the way to St. Michael's to school to alleviate that crowding in the building. So we're hoping that with some redistricting back students to this school, it will allow for better utilization of another elementary school, and we will be able to meet the needs of this diverse population, and more importantly, be able to have it as a community school for those that live in this community. Our primary goal today is to review our planning approval request to convince you that it is time for this project to move forward. A school is a building that has four walls with tomorrow inside. And I think that's really important to remember, that we want the best for our children, and we know.
Excuse me while I write that down.
Okay. I will say it again. A school is a building that has four walls with tomorrow inside. We want the best for our children. And I know everybody in this room wants the best for their children. So what I'm supposed to be doing to you is convince you that this is a project that you need to fund. I've been superintendent. This is my fifth year. Actually, I've never been before this group because we haven't had a project since I've been here. But what I can tell you is that we are in need. We have put off projects. We actually were approved for a roof for the Moton Building a couple years ago. We put it off thinking, why put a new roof on when the building is deteriorating in its infrastructure? So we have been fiscally responsible in that area. I know Mr. Franchot is planning to come and visit our schools at the end of October. And so we look forward to showing you around in our building. And I'm really here to answer any questions that you might have. I didn't want to take all 8 minutes because I'm sure you have questions.
That was pretty good. You squeezed it all in there pretty good.
I tried.
Any questions for all of you?
I just have first of all, thank you, Dr. Griffith. And I did have a comment because I saw in the Star Democrat, that great newspaper over there on the shore, your plant operations manager, Mr. Schaefer?
Schaefer.
Schaefer He was talking about the benefits of the new school, the replacement of Easton Elementary School. And I'm glad that you mentioned that the school is going to be combined with redistricting, or he indicated that that will reduce bus ride times for students, provide a stronger community school by allowing families in the Easton area to attend what should be their home school and support the needs of a diverse population. So kudos to you, Superintendent, and I was delighted to read that. I just had a question. You mentioned the Dobson facility. Are you planning to retain the 5,725 square foot Head Start addition in the existing Dobson facility?
Yes, that would and it was actually built to, and I was actually part of that project. So when I was principal at the, so it is built to stand alone, and the Head Start would remain on the campus. And we feel that's very important because then we can share our professional development and our resources with our community Head Start.
I'm just thinking of walking across the parking lot and stuff, but is there? Is that going to be connected to the new?
It is not. It is not.
Okay. And then I had just a quick question on Chapel District Elementary School, which was awarded the Silver Hammer Award from our office for exceptional school maintenance last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see it earned an overall rating of good, and that overall maintenance and operations were described as, quote, appear to be routine and thorough. But I am concerned about the maintenance efforts that are expected to have only a limited effort, apparently, on the roof and HVAC system. I see the replacement roof is priority number 4 on your request for FY19, but then I see the project is listed as an FY23 project. Is that are you going to be able to bridge that gap with a bad roof?
We are hopeful, and we know that you are constrained with when it comes to funds. So what we do is try to make sure we utilize our maintenance folks the best we can and keep that intact. So we're hoping that we can extend the life of that roof until 2023. When you have to prioritize, you have to prioritize. And right now, Easton Elementary School is definitely the priority. And then comes the Easton High School HVAC, which I know is in there as second. Our third, and there is a small part of the Easton High School roof as well. So we prioritized in that manner.
I see Delegate Mounts is here.
And
he is. One of the hardest working members of the legislature anywhere. I see him all over. And Delegate Glenn, of course.
Sitting next to Delegate Glenn, who also has a hard time.
Yeah, but she doesn't represent Easton. So I'll get to her a little bit later on. But seeing him does remind me of one of my visits at where Mayor Willie asked me famously to climb up on a ladder and look at the roof of the elementary school. And I showed with great delight my wife the next day the picture in the newspaper of me climbing up at the top of the ladder looking at the roof. And her comment was, "Is that a big tear in your pants that I see?"
Oh.
So thank you for letting me swing by from time to time. And
absolutely.
Keep up the great work.
And Mr. Mounts is in our buildings quite often, as we know. His children are there as well.
Superintendent, could I ask you a question? You say one of your major challenges in terms of school maintenance is the difficulty of hiring qualified people, exacerbated by generational turnover. What do you think we can do to help with that?
As far as support staff and custodial staff, one of the things that we have been working with is our community college and our recruitment efforts. We've also been working on, we have a Grow Your Own program for our teachers, and we've now started one with our support staff. So we have students that might be very interested. So we're really branching out to more internships and opportunities. We've also compressed our salary scale so we're more competitive on the shore with our support staff. So I think some of those efforts are going to make that shift, that change for us. But it is difficult. It's hard work. It's very hard work. Over the past 6 years, we've had to decrease staff because of funding. And so when you decrease staff, you know everyone picks up more jobs. And so it does make it a little more difficult. So one of the things that we're also working on is looking at the funding for our schools so that we don't have to decrease staff to get the work done.
Obviously, one of our significant concerns, we're talking about building new schools, is maintaining them.
Absolutely.
Once they're built. And I would really appreciate your thoughtful, I sprung this on you, but input on what you think we could do in terms of this, of the state, the funding allocation structure, maybe the university has a set aside for plant renewal in addition to that sort of thing, and mm-hmm. also training. If they're, mm-hmm. I mean, if you can get the community colleges to have a good ongoing program, I bet there are other people who would like to take advantage of it too.
And looking at some of those green initiatives, I think are really important, and we've been doing that. And you know, what's been really exciting is our students have been taking that initiative forward. And our students have been working with our custodial staff on the Green Initiative, which I think is very exciting to see.
And a lot of this can be a great learning opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I thank you, and I thank you for all the work you've done. Look forward to seeing the new school.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
Any other questions on Talbot County? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Baltimore City. Dr. Santelisis is here with us. Yep, Delia Glenn, I'm
yes, sure. Yeah. So, good morning. Governor Hogan, Treasurer Cobb, Comptroller Francho, and the full Board of Public Works. On behalf of Baltimore City Public Schools, I would like to thank you all for the opportunity to share this morning. And as has already been noted, we are very pleased to have Delegate Glenn with us this morning. And I would also like to note that Mayor Catherine Pugh had initially intended to be here, but was called out of town doing some work on minor little deal called Amazon. And so...
Well, she's very excused. We'd love to see her.
Absolutely. Well, I will. So, but it's very good to be with you this morning. I also want to give a special thank you to Comptroller Francho, who visited Fort Worthington Elementary Middle School this year, which is one of the new 21st century school buildings. That
I raved about it.
You
really
did.
I mean, it is special. So congratulations.
Well, no, thank you for the congratulations, but also thank you to you and congratulations to this body, to the state support, the local support, and our district resources. And we were thrilled to have you there with us.
And we were thrilled to be represented by the deputy. Yes.
Thank you, Deputy Brogan. I apologize. My memory in this job, I will say 16 months on this job, it's wavering from time to time, but it was also good to see you as well, Deputy. Today I would also like to share with you, just briefly, some of the challenges that City Schools is facing with regard to our capital planning and maintenance needs, and really the efforts that we are taking to address some of those challenges, and how we hope that we can work with IAC and the BPW to meet those needs. For fiscal year 2019, City Schools is requesting $94 million for our two major projects, Hollabird Elementary Middle School and Graceland Park, O'Donnell Heights Elementary Middle, both selected by the state to be net zero buildings, as well as 35 systemic projects that really include a variety of much-needed repairs to buildings, everything from elevators, roofs, building systems. I'll be happy to report a bit later about our movement with regards to our commitment to make sure that more city schools buildings are air-conditioned and report on where we are with the plan that we have submitted to this body. Of course, as in every year, this request only begins to address our true facility needs, and it really is necessary to preserve our existing portfolio even as we expand the number of new buildings that we have. Our needs are many and are really driven by buildings with systems beyond their facility life cycle. We have increased costs related to the maintenance and renovation of systems in these facilities and limited funds to support construction and maintenance of facilities within the district portfolio. We are happy to report, though, that even with some of these challenges, for the third year in a row, our state maintenance inspection score continues to increase in large part due to the hard work of our staff under the supervision of Chief Scroggins and Dr. Lynette Washington. So the city schools portfolio includes 159 schools And the average building age, just by way of reminder, is 50 years. Now, as you all know, older buildings mean older systems. And without the necessary funds to upgrade those systems and improve them, the district will continue to face challenges in maintaining and preserving those facilities. We continue to address some of the conditions of these buildings. You know that we have online not only the two schools that opened this August, but we are looking forward to the opening of two additional 21st century schools in January. Dorothy I. Height, which was formerly known as John Edgar Howard, and Lyndhurst will open next school year, representing the real, again, push that 21st century schools gives us as a school district, but we still do have a ways to go. 2 years ago, we drafted a 5-year plan to provide AC in schools without full AC systems. I want you to know that 7 schools received air conditioning over this past summer, with 2 additional schools, our new schools, receiving air conditioning, and 2 additional schools for the 2018 school year. For a total for the school year of 2018 of an additional 16 schools with air conditioning. So while we know that we would like it on a faster timeline, we are very appreciative of working with you all to make sure that we're accelerating the number of schools with air conditioning, and we believe that the plan we have in place will be able to meet. Our second greatest challenge really is an increased cost. And based on a summary of our current contractors, construction costs in our area have increased by 70% over the last 5 years, particularly for projects that involve any kind of mechanical system replacements or roofing construction. The hardship really has been exacerbated by the state's partial funding of city school CIP projects. And part of what that means is that a jurisdiction with a, frankly, a lower contribution due to the high poverty within our district, our local jurisdiction is unable, like other jurisdictions, to forward fund projects. And what that means is we have to wait as a school system for the entirety of the project to be funded, which means an accumulation of partial funding over a number of years. And so over the 2 to 3 years that it takes to get all of the funding in place, oftentimes the costs increase. So it's not due to the fact that we're not projecting correctly at the time what the costs are, but it is due to the fact that because we do not have the benefit of forward funding from our local jurisdiction, we must wait for full funding to come into place. I want to thank the IAC staff that acknowledged the problems with this practice this past year, and consequently the number of those partially funded projects for FY18 was significantly reduced. And again, I do want to say thank you to the IAC for working with us and acknowledging that this was a challenge. However, what this means is that city schools does continue to be profoundly impacted by previous cycles of partial funding. And unlike, again, other LEAs that receive larger local allocations, we have been subject to lost revenue or lost time for new funds because we cannot forward projects. So we appreciate, and this challenge, by the way, again, we brought to the IAC, and we appreciate that $20.5 million in reverted funds were recently recommended by the IAC to fund additional FY18 projects. However, in previous years, the IAC has included a portion of reverted funds from rescinded projects in our annual CIP allocation. So what that means is that every year we have a portion of our CIP allocations that are past rescinded project funds and actually takes away from the new funding that we would be receiving. And again, this year, while we're grateful for the 20.5 in reverted funds that we'll receive, that additional 10.8 of funding would take the place of any new funding that we'd be receiving. So for this reason, we wanted to flag that for you all as a concern for us. I did send a letter to Mr. Gorell and other IAC members yesterday detailing some of the concerns about this is a past practice and how, frankly, it does continue to impact us. A key purpose of the state CIP funding for this program is really to serve as an equalizer, which is why the opportunity to come and to present to you today is important. But I do want to just again point out that the recycling of funds is actually, if we were to look over a period of time, has actually represented a loss of approximately $66 million of new money that Baltimore City gets to benefit from. And so our FY18 allocation of new dollars is actually 42% below the amount of new funding allocation that we received 10 years ago. So, again, we just want to emphasize that this recycling is a challenge for us that we want to be able to draw attention to, and that it will impact our ability long term to keep with things like our AC plan, our building maintenance, and we wanted to make sure we brought this to your attention. In closing, because I too want to give you time to ask questions, I just want to make sure that that the Board of Public Works just recognize the progress that we've made as Baltimore City in continuing to improve the maintenance of our buildings, continue to make sure that we are good stewards of the public dollar, and that we continue to seek your support and commitment to Baltimore City students. Continued financial assistance through this body is needed to support City School's current and future efforts. And when taken together, the issues I've described today can make it increasingly difficult for city schools to move forward with our capital projects. I want to thank you again for the opportunity to present today, and then I will turn it over to you to ask questions.
Thank you very much. And first of all, I want to congratulate you for the fourth year in a row improving on the maintenance scores. That's that's really great and a testament to the work that your staff has been doing. You know, on the air conditioning units, it's disappointing that we haven't moved forward, but it's glad you got some of them done. And not, you know, I know that the comptroller has expressed quite a bit of interest in making sure we get those things completed, because we don't want kids sweating in these hot days in the classroom. I don't know how many days you may have missed or how many kids might have been out of the classroom for that. We understand the challenges that you're faced with. And I guess, you know, my question, and you addressed it sort of, but the IAC proposed reduction for the cost, the state cost share percentage, how that's going to impact you and how you plan to deal with that.
So with a change in cost share from the state, generally what that would mean for us is a larger local contribution, which would put a further burden on our contribution. It would just be yet another diversion of current funds. If we were to hold at the current percentage, we would be able to move forward. But as you noted, Governor, it would be another challenge.
Is there any hope of getting the city to increase their investment in the schools? Because, you know, one of the things that we've talked about on the operating budget side is that I think the average school system in the state spends around 50% of their total dollars on the schools, and the city only spends 13%. So the state actually pays far more in Baltimore City.
You do.
Two or three times more than we do anywhere else.
Yeah.
But the city doesn't, and so on school, both the school construction and on operating costs, is there any hope that maybe the city is going to step up and invest along with us?
No, and I certainly understand, Governor, this you're not the first person to point that out. I think some of the things that we're hopeful, one, Delegate Glenn is here, and the mayor, this year the city committed additional money to assist us with our budget gap, as did the state. And I do think it's increasing in conversation. I think it is far more than that when I was in city schools past, sir. It was not part of the everyday discussion, and I think now it is. I think the mayor has gone out very early, increasing the contribution. And I will say that I think the recent, and I don't want to speak out of turn because I'm not a security or safety expert, but I do think that part of the mayor's drive in increasing investment and attracting businesses to Baltimore City is to be able to increase the local tax base and, frankly, help make sure that our safety costs are not as high as they are, because there's an interesting relationship between the amount that we have to invest in safety versus the amount that we invest in education.
Thank you. Any other questions for Baltimore City?
Yeah, I just want to please give my kudos to Mayor Pugh for paying attention to all of these issues and to yourself. And Delegate Glenn, thank you for the support of the city delegation. I just want to commend you and your team for prioritizing the installations of portable air conditioning units in hundreds of classrooms across the Baltimore City school system. Now, as the governor mentioned, we all know that Baltimore City faces a lot of challenges. And, you know, it's a unique situation and a unique responsibility for the state. But the fact that you're working diligently to address the serious safety and health issue, I think, is a cause for recognition and, frankly, on my part, celebration. So tell the mayor I said some nice things about her.
I definitely will.
It's not me. It's the students and the teachers who have been suffering in these sweltering classrooms, and I'm sure they're very grateful for your efforts in expediting the installation of these units. I see 12 schools are slated for air conditioning in the CIP request you submitted.
Yes.
If I recall correctly, Baltimore City Schools had committed to provide cooling, heating, and ventilation systems over a five-year timeline.
Yes.
And I just want to ask, I'm not sure, Madam Superintendent, whether it's you or Mr. Scroggins, who is kind of the keeper of all data, as far as I'm concerned, up here. Are you going to be able to install air conditioning units on that kind of timeline?
So I will just, but before I ask Chief Scroggins to join me, I will say that yes, we are, but I do think that it's subject to some of the other shifts in funding that occur. Based on where we are now, we feel as if we can keep to what we've promised. But again, any shifts in funding, any decreases in new funding will clearly impact that. But Keith, would you like to?
No, I'm delighted Mrs. Scroggins is here, and thank you for, well, doing a lot more with a lot less than a lot of people realize, and Mrs. Scroggins, but if you could just update us on the January meeting's commitment that the city had for installing air conditioning units at 7 schools and split units at 2 schools, is there any update on that?
Well, yes, we just installed it in 7 schools. Over the past year. Of course, there were 2 new schools that were opened up this year. We'll have actually a total of 5 new schools, 2 in January and 3 in the fall. And then we also have those 11 projects that will also be completed in the fall. They're already in design. They'll begin construction. So we're very positive in terms of getting that work done.
Okay. And then in how many are left at the end of, if you do all 11 or 12 of the projects in FY 2019 CIP plan, how many does that leave?
Well, actually, after that, in 2019, we'll have 19 projects that have been completed in that year, plus 2 new schools opening. In 2020, we'll have 9 plus 7 new schools open. In 2021, there will be 2 schools plus 1 new school, and in 2022, there will be 1 school. So all of the schools will be completed within our 5-year plan.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm very pleased, because when I say there's some unique fiscal challenges in the city, yes, you're absolutely accurate in that. And I just want to thank Dr. Santalizzi's and the city school team, I guess, with the progress that you're showing, and I'd urge you just to continue prioritizing the installation of air conditioning and heat systems, because obviously, as we read in the paper, either the climate's changing or we're just going through some weird weather, but it can get very hot in these schools. And you mentioned Fort Worthington, my visit up there. Thank you for being there and letting me have a tour. I expressed my, I hate to even sound surprised, but this was such a game changer, this new school, with the energy and the spirit of the kids and the faculty. You could just, it was manifestly spectacular. And I just wanted to follow up on, you know, by saying how pleased I was to see that. And my staff person, Matt Minson, who went to the old Fort Worthington, mm-hmm. He was like, get me over here. I want to go back through this school because it's a special place. Now, the question is, how can we maintain it? As the treasurer was mentioning, there are some constraints on maintenance efforts. I noticed that, you know, you're taking steps, Mr. Scroggins, but, and I salute you. The governor mentioned that you had zero goose egg, not adequate or poor ratings in your maintenance report. That is unheard of. That is enormous progress. So congrats. But what are we doing to preserve these both new schools and, I guess, the old schools to the extent we can?
Well, I think it's important to note that the support from the top, from the CEO, truly helps. In the past, operations was sort of an afterthought, but it's involved in almost every discussion within the school system, and, you know, I certainly appreciate that. We've also been helped by the addition of the $3 million a year, which was negotiated with our state and city partners, as well as Deputy Brogan. Once the 21st Century program was approved, so with that additional $3 million, we're able to initiate more preventive maintenance and maintain our schools better than have been maintained in the past.
Great. And, Madam Superintendent, just quickly, how much money are you slated to lose? The governor mentioned this formula or something.
Sure. So if the amount is reduced from nine, if it increases, if the local contribution increases, I believe it's an extra, let me just check my notes, I'm giving you a, I believe it's an extra, sorry. Let's see over there. Thank you. $1.8 million for FY19.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of money.
It is.
And, frankly, you give me that up there with Mr. Scroggins, and we could get a lot of classrooms air-conditioned real fast. So I hope there's something that can be done there ultimately, because that is exactly the wrong message to send to the city. I also want to just recognize the governor, because I sided with him on getting Amazon recruited to the state as long as it's in Baltimore City. I mean, God bless Montgomery County, my home county, but if that wonderful company, a game-changing company, could ever be recruited to come to Maryland, it's got to be in Baltimore City.
Agreed.
And
I agree, and I will say, having attended the mayor's most recent cabinet meeting, there really is, I would say, a brain trust within the city that is really pushing hard to make sure that, you know, we represent the state in this bid, and you and your support collectively means a great deal. So we thank you for that.
Yeah, I can tell you that the state has never put together an incentive package like this before. Yeah. It's going to be mind-boggling for the folks at Amazon. I think we have a great chance to get that. I'll just point out that the state cost share on school construction for Baltimore City for FY 2018 is 91%, which is 2 points down from last year when it was 93%. But it's still, you know, twice as high as most places. So.
It is. And, again, our local funding is something that I think is the – well, we know, I won't say I think, is the major driver to that. So.
Could I just ask a couple of questions? I appreciate, I want to add my voice to the progress that has been made. Actually, we have talked about maintenance for years, many years, when Delegate Glenn's predecessor actually was finally, and to see this progress being made is terrific, at least in part also because of the 21st Century Schools move, and I recognize, I want to say that the city did raise some taxes and has put money in to the extent they can, but I recognize the problem also that was caused by partial funding. Mm. I see a number here, but do you actually have a net cost of what?
We do. If you add all of the treasurer cop, if you add all of the years of partial funding together, we're looking at about $66 million.
Which is very – so, I mean, that is a structural change, which I gather you're addressing that could actually save money ahead of time.
Yeah, it absolutely can.
Yeah, I want to also say I just heard in passing the naming of a new school, the Dorothy, not a new school, but the new renaming of Dorothy.
Yes.
Years ago, when I was when I worked on Capitol Hill, I worked with Ms. Haight.
Did you?
An extraordinary woman, and I am so delighted to see her recognized. A great educational leader, but also a great public leader.
Well, and I will tell you, Treasurer Kopp, what was wonderful about the naming is that the young people, the students, actually did the research on each of the individuals that they were thinking of naming and nominating. And so if you ask any of them about Dorothy Haight, they will be able to wax prolific. So we'll invite you to the opening.
That's terrific. I mean, her name has not been heard often enough in the last few years, I think. I find that very exciting. If you could give us something, just point out year by year how, if we could somehow structurally address the question of partial funding with the separate set-aside fund or something like that, I think it would be extremely helpful. And to build on what the comptroller was saying, I'm not sure. We haven't gotten to your item yet, Dr. Girl, but perhaps there's something we could do about the floors, because the floors basically serve the LEAs, all that benefit from equalization, are in need. Maybe we could delay the somehow the move in funding. But this is something to take up in the next item, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we'd be happy to get you that breakdown, Treasurer.
That's
true.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Caroline County. Delegate Glenn, did you have anything you wanted to say before we move on? Delegate.
Cheryl?
I think she
Excuse me. Delegate.
Did either one of the delegates have anything to say before they... Delegate Glenn.
I just want to thank you for the continued support of Washington City Public Schools.
Thank you. Delegate Mouse.
I'd like to thank the board also. Talbot County often brings us that as well as Granger, and we have a lot of challenges in the county, and they oftentimes get overlooked. And I can't thank you enough for focusing on those.
Thank you.
The challenges get greater every year. You're doing the best you can. Thank you.
Thank you for the great job both of you are doing.
I think you all have been. I'm partial to the House of Delegates, of course, but really strong leaders in that fight.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Dr. Patty Phelan, Caroline County Public Schools, and with me today we have Mr. Milton Nagel, our Assistant Superintendent. He'll be here for any technical questions you may have. Mr. Jim Newcomb, our President of our Board. Mr. Larry Porter, who is one of our commissioners and here in support of our capital projects. We also have two delegates here. We have Delegate Grace, and we have Delegate Thank you. He's hanging around.
It's quite a team you got there.
I know. So we're here today requesting planning approval for the construction of a replacement school at Greensboro Elementary and funding approval for a partial roof replacement at Lockerman Middle School. The current Greensboro Elementary School was built in 1974 and is an open space classroom building that brings a lot of challenges. There are currently 9 portable classrooms on the property because we are overcrowded. The cost of closing up the open space areas, combined with the significant amount of additional space needed to accommodate the current and projected enrollment, led us to determine the best course of action is to build a new versus adding an addition and doing a total renovation. We studied the pros and the cons over both for well over a year now, and in conjunction with our county commissioners and state public school construction officials, decided that our best solution is to build a new school. The site is nearly 40 acres, so there's plenty of space that we could actually build the new school there and then go back and return to do demo. Building a new school for a student population in excess of 800 compared to expanding the existing open space school designated for only 600 will produce much more efficient building, both for as it relates to a programmatic and operational standpoint. The fiscal cost to add and renovate is only slightly more, and you can see that in your paper that we gave you. There's a comparison chart there. So it's only slightly more for the cost of the new school, but the operational efficiencies associated with the new school make the decision fairly easy. So that is our first project that we're requesting planning approval for. Our second project, which you also have an attachment that has some factual information about the current roof at Lockerman, as well as a visual aspect. So our second project, as I said, is a partial roof replacement for Lockerman Middle School. This section of the roof is from the original, which was an addition in 1993. And there is, we've already had the independent roof study prepared by Garland Roofing, which does support the need to move forward on this project. So that's really all that we have for Caroline County this year. And we just want to thank you for your continued support on all of our capital projects. We welcome you to come visit Caroline County anytime and to look at everything that all the monies that you've provided for us and what that looks like in our district. I'm very proud to share that we take care of what we build and do in Caroline County. Our maintenance staff is amazing. And so the monies that you do give us, we use them carefully, and then we take care of what we build. So we're very proud of that. So if you have any questions for us.
Well, thank you very much. I know one of the issues that you're faced with down there, and maybe you have some ideas on how we can address it, but it's the $395 per square foot construction cost because of the kind of remote location, I guess. It's hard to get bidders or materials down there.
Well, being on the Eastern Shore, we're limited to our resources as it relates to our contractors. So.
Not that many bidders and difficulty getting to the site. Is that
a lot of contractors come from the Western Shore, and so you're dealing with that either that daily commute or temporary housing, depending. And we have a lot of Delaware contractors that are resistant to coming to do Maryland work for a couple of reasons. One, there's plenty of Delaware work right now, and you got different prevailing wage issues. So you have Delaware prevailing wages and versus Maryland prevailing wages. And then thirdly, we have a number of smaller contractors that are based in Caroline County that don't want to get into the state work because of prevailing wages. And then having to continue to look for state prevailing wage jobs in order to retain their workforce. And then we've seen some contractors that have workers that jump from employer to employer depending on who's got the next prevailing wage job. We've had our most recent construction project, we had some of the trade packages where we had to rebid because we only had one in the bid on a particular trade. And for instance, sheet metal fabrication for ductwork. There's one contractor on the entire Delmarva Peninsula right now that does that work. So it is a constrained environment as far as certain trade contractors.
Yeah, it's difficult. I'm not sure what the solution to it is, but we at least recognize that.
Well, our CTE programs is one solution that we're working on.
We're working on
partnering
to partner with local businesses
to grow our own.
And make them more ready for the workforce.
We had University of Maryland in here earlier, and Senator Rosa Pep, who represents that district, was talking about the average school construction is $46,000 per student, and they just built a charter school with the University of Maryland, $13,000 per student. It's a beautiful school, and I think prevailing wage was a huge part of that cost that they didn't have to deal with.
It's easily 20% of the total cost.
Yeah. All right, any questions? I guess first we'll see if you have any questions, and then I want to...
Yeah, so thank you. If I could, I just wanted to commend everyone involved in the Preston Elementary addition, Madam Superintendent, speaking of taking care of what you have. I toured that when the renovation was underway in 2015. I hear it's a huge success with the new media center, large addition that holds the new cafeteria and the gymnasium, energy-saving features of geothermal heating and cooling. One of my constituents, Mr. Berman's back there, he's going to help us get more energy efficient in these contracts we signed. But solar panels and LED lighting. I mean, come on over to Montgomery County and teach us how to do this, please.
As a matter of fact, speaking of Preston Elementary,
yeah,
Mr. Comptroller, since they achieved a superior rating on the FY 2017 maintenance survey. We have a Board of Public Works resolution honoring Preston Elementary, and we want to recognize you, but also Principal Carrie Clow and Head Custodian Gary Hart with this citation. So maybe we can have everybody, I don't know if they're both here or not, but come up and we can take a picture with you, with the board.
Okay.
Maybe it's easier for us to come out there and take a picture. Don't you guys want in here? You have to get on both sides.
Yeah,
it's good to see you, man.
Thank you.
Maybe a couple of you guys, y'all get built on that.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, maybe that's probably good.
And everybody see it?
Make sure we see it. It's great. Okay, we really see it right there. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, I'm very happy.
You signed the beam.
Yeah, I did. I'm going to give, Madam Superintendent, would you please give this medallion to the maintenance person who is responsible for the 99.62%?
Thank you. I will. And I just want to say Friday, we have all of our custodian staff will be, we're celebrating them for luncheon. So perfect opportunity where they'll all be together.
That's great.
Well, let me give you one so you don't have to give away the only one you have.
Okay.
And give that to them from us and the Board of Public
Works. I will. Absolutely. Thank you so much. What an honor.
I'm not going to have to go get my out of my office.
Can I ask just one question? Looking at the concerns that were raised by Talbot about maintenance staff, attracting and retaining good maintenance staff, and just thinking about all these things, are there things that we could do to support you to do on a more regional basis or, I don't know, structurally change things so that it's easier to... You mentioned growing, for instance, the economy, the businesses there. If it could be done, perhaps, on a more... a joint base. I don't even know what I'm suggesting, except what we could do to leverage your efforts.
Well, we have been working very, very closely with the Board of Education about utilizing Chesapeake College, for example, mm-hmm. to have a mentoring program or an apprentice program, and I think we could certainly do it with that as well. We are finding as Milton said, a very severe lack of skilled people. And I keep saying, you know, in my diatribes when I talk that it's, you know, with all due respect, it's a lot easier to find an attorney or a doctor than it is someone to fix my air conditioner or work on my car. So I think we have to identify kids in our school who have those interests and then nurture those interests with those programs. Same thing actually kind of off topic a little bit with EMTs and paramedics as well, because we're having a hard time retaining EMTs and paramedics. So if we can find students who express an interest, then we may be able to pick up tuition or do something like that if they'll agree to work in our county.
And I must say, I think there really is a state interest
in
supporting you across the
yes,
region.
Ma'am.
And
a couple of years ago, we created a brand new position called CTE Business Liaison to work more directly with our local businesses and identifying what their needs are and bringing the kids to the businesses at an early middle school before they hit the high school age to try to get them interested. It's one thing to have somebody from a business come and talk to the students, but to have the students actually go to the business and get to walk through the plant or through the operation and see what neat things they might be able to do with their hands or with their, you know, with their moms.
Right.
It might help to point them in another direction.
The treasurer makes an excellent point. I'm interested in anything systemic. I can guarantee that what goes on in Caroline goes on in other jurisdictions in the state, and it's called leadership, maintenance, oversight, administration, you name it. It's treating the kids and the teachers like they're your customers, and you want to please them by keeping a good environment there. And yes, I appreciate the fact that we have a shifting economy and this, that, and the other thing. You guys are, I mean, you can't argue with the numbers. These are 37 engineering criteria that everybody looked at with a skeptical eye, and you got a 99.5% rating on it. It's doable in every jurisdiction in the state, but it requires a team like this paying attention to it. And, you know, I'm sorry, Larry, I'm an attorney, so I'm sorry you're having trouble finding anybody. But
I certainly meant no disrespect.
Yeah.
But I get what you say. You know, unfortunately, I attended the elementary school that was there before the school we're talking about replacing. So it reinforces everyone. They tell me how old I am. But I spend a good amount of time in our schools. We don't have a lot of schools, but I spend a lot of time. I'm constantly amazed at how hard they work and how much effort is put into maintaining those. And our relationship with our Board of Education, I think, is also unique in areas. So we work together. We trust each other. We've known each other. The recent person who went off the Board of Education, my wife graduated from high school with him, and I graduated from high school with the person who replaced him. So we know each other, and we work closely together. So as much as I love coming across the bridge, you know, I mean, it's great to come over in support of them, and I am in full support. So thank you very much.
Could I get Jim Newcomb to come up here, please?
Yeah.
The Board of Ed is involved in this. Thank you for what you're doing, because it's – the proof is in the pudding. And Madam Treasurer, I support you on anything that you want to do system-wide, but I'm telling you, in these jurisdictions, it's very ad hoc. And yes, there are challenges, but some of them are just knocking it out of the park, and others have a lot of great rhetoric, but tend to... whatever. And what the governor said about Mr. Gorrell, thank you, and Madam Education President, Secretary, and Madam Ambassador, Excellency, yes, thanks, and Karen, thank you. Because getting that maintenance report is the only, as the governor said, it's once we get it, we can improve. But without that measurement, we're just listening to generally a lot of empty promises from people that just can't get the job done. And this group does. You getting the job done. God bless you. Seriously.
Thank you all.
Yeah, one final comment. I just want to compliment Mr. Burrell. I know you, the governor, made the reference earlier to getting that maintenance report in timely fashion. You look in that maintenance report, look at not just this year in Preston Elementary School, but historically, our rating of Caroline County of election since 2010 has been very good or superior to all of our schools, to the efforts of our maintenance work. It's not just at Preston, even at Fellsburg Elementary School. Last year, you presented Silver Hammer there, as well as some other schools. So, you know, we're very proud of, we're small but mighty, and a lot of it's resourcefulness and working closely with our county commissioners.
Thank you all very much for all your great work.
Come see us.
Come see us. Thank you.
Can I ask Dr. Gorrell or Dr. Salmon?
Sure.
Do we know how many more open classroom schools we have?
I would have to get that number together and bring it back to you.
I mean, I've not heard anything good about them for 50 years.
Well, next up we have Queen Anne's Gap. Morning.
I think it's afternoon now. Yeah, I was just looking for that.
Good afternoon. I am Andrea Kane and proud to have served for the last 3 months as superintendent for Queen Anne's County Public Schools. I have with me today Carla Pullen, who is our facilities planner, and also Mr. Sid Pender, who is our director for operations. So I'd like to thank you, first of all, for allowing us to share with you some challenges that we experience with regard to our capital planning and maintenance. I'd like to let you know off the from the beginning that we have had a facilities assessment conducted in 2016, and some of the data that I will reference is from that facilities assessment report. So we are a district of just over 7,700 students. We have 7,721. There are about 372 square land miles in our county, and that averages to about 21 students per square mile. We have 14 school facilities. I'm going to talk about three challenges that we experience, and one is the limited county funds that are allotted for our regular routine maintenance to our school buildings. Over the last several years, the district had received just about $300,000 per year for items such as painting, flooring repairs, site work, fencing, and that sort of thing. In fiscal year 18, no funds were awarded. Only capital projects were matched with local funds. So that's our first challenge. Our second challenge has to do with our small internal maintenance staff. There's difficulty obtaining funding to increase our workforce. We currently have 1.4 million square feet consisting of 14 schools, 2 field houses, a central office, a warehouse, and 9 portables. The department consists of, our maintenance department consists of 9 technicians, with 1 of those being a working foreman. Of those 9 technicians, the following specialties include 3 people to handle our HVAC and refrigeration projects and boilers. 1 person handles refrigeration and our kitchen equipment. 1 person is our master electrician, also handles access controls and cameras. 1 master plumber. 1 locksmith and person to handle our carpentry work. We have 1 person for preventive maintenance, and we have 1 person who handles life safety, fire alarms, generators, that sort of thing. So as you might imagine, for 1.4 million square feet, that presents a challenge for us. The third challenge is that technology now falls under the umbrella of facilities. So for our repairs and for replacements for everything from projectors and interactive boards, LCD projectors, and all the things that come with that mount and what have you, it does present quite a challenge for us, especially with technology changing as rapidly as it does. Our total current estimated cost of repairs, and that is from our facilities assessment that was conducted in 2016, is $55,685,508 exactly. And I have to say that that includes everything that was included as a failed or poorly maintained project on our maintenance report. So all of those things are included in that one. Our current LEA average for public school constructive program maintenance score is overall good. 89.62 is our score, so we're pleased with that. Some other challenges that I'd like to talk about, or certainly a summary, includes the fact that our school buildings were either newly built all around the same time, so they're sort of clustered, and there is sort of within a short duration of time, and this means that it requires more local funding, and with that clustering, it's also in intervals. So about 10 years ago, there was a cluster of buildings that had to be renovated and work done, and then we might not come back to it about till next year or so. So we have 2 requests for today, and I'll talk about that shortly. So during our last audit by the Maryland Legislative Auditors, they noted that our maintenance department was 7 technicians short based on the square footage of our buildings. HVAC and energy management systems are becoming more complex to maintain, and therefore they require replacement parts, which are sometimes no longer available. They aren't made. As most building systems now require the use of computer integration, we've seen a sharp increase in the amount of funding required just to upgrade the licensing software. So that presents certainly a challenge for us. currently, and you had a little bit of conversation about this with Caroline County, currently our cost per square foot for new schools is $556 per square foot. And some of those challenges that you spoke with Caroline County about, we experience as well. Our location and accessibility, we believe, play a part in the cost of that. And that is an estimate from our last renovation project at Graysonville Elementary. We also only received one bid for that project. Other construction costs and challenges include experienced difficulty in ensuring interest in getting those multiple bidders, like just like we did for Graysonville Elementary School, and also the prevailing wage rate. So prevailing wage rates increase the cost for each project, as you know, sometimes significantly, thereby increasing the cost for the contractor, and sometimes the contractors are not employing those highly skilled workers, and so the cost that they have to pay them is significant, and that prevents them sometimes from wanting to engage in projects with us. So that does certainly present an issue. So the two projects that we are requesting today are minimal in comparison to some that you might hear about today. Churchill Elementary School, we're requesting a chiller replacement. The last time that was replaced was in the year 2000. And we also are requesting a chiller replacement for one of our high schools, Kent Island High School. And the last chiller was put in place in 2001. So our state share request is $792,000 with a total cost of $1.7 million.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there questions for Queen Anne's County?
Thank you, Dr. Kane, for that, because it's very well presented. And I have a lot of admiration for your elected officials over there in Queen Anne's County.
Thank you.
But I would urge Delegate Griss, who I think represents you and Caroline County, to just make sure you guys are aware of what they're doing, because like you, they're taking very good care of what they have, but they're even higher ratings than the ones that that you mentioned for Queen Anne's County. I see that the Kent Island High School had some defects from the fiscal year 2011 maintenance report, and that seems to have all been corrected. Is that done under a construction defect warranty?
Warranty, exactly.
Really?
Yes. So all of that, as of, I believe, last year, Mr. Pender, has been taken care of. So it was roofing and windows.
Good. So, and I see you mentioned the new chiller replacement in the high school.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm very pleased to see that. And if you could pass my compliments along to your elected leadership, tell them next year if they come, I can say something nice about them when they're here.
I will certainly do that.
It doesn't hurt. You don't have to be all by yourself in this.
Oh, I have a team.
Yeah.
They are here, and we certainly have spoken with our commissioners, and they are in support. And Mr. Anderson says to say hello to you.
So. Doesn't hurt to have someone, you know, it's not like you're coming from Western Maryland.
No. So I am well supported. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to Cecil County.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, and Comptroller Franchot. I would like to thank Delegate Riley for being here in support of Cecil today, and my team behind me, Mr. Perry Willis, who is our Executive Director of Support Services, Mr. Chuck Simpers, who is our Manager of Construction, and Mr. Ted Lambert, who is our Supervisor of Facilities. If you would grant me permission, I would like to give you a brief update. The Harford County shooter is in Cecil County, outside of my central office, in a house. There is law enforcement on the scene, and all Cecil schools are in secured status. So with your permission, I'm going to give my report, and I'm headed north.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So on behalf of the Board of Education of Cecil County, we submit these comments in support of our capital plan for fiscal year 2019. We would like to express our appreciation to you for your contributions and support in the past. We are a low-wealth county, and we take very good care of our facilities, so thank you for your investment. As the comptroller is well aware, Gilpin Manor Elementary School was a school much in need of replacement. It is coming along nicely, on time and under budget somewhat. And we are very pleased with that, and we're here to ask you for the final allocation to complete the replacement school for next year in the amount of $3,758,000. Along with that, we have several systemic projects. We have a rather large roof systemic replacement at Bohemia Manor and Bohemia High Schools that share a common building and very much needs to be replaced. We want to bid the project in its entirety, but then it will be replaced over a two-year period, and the amount for that from the state is $830,000. Cherry Hill Middle School is one of our older schools, but in very good condition. If we replace exterior doors and windows, we will extend the life of that school, and that's $612,000 to complete that project. We have an HVAC systemic replacement at Cecil Manor that we would really like to update. The system currently is from 1995, and that's in the amount of $1.7 million. And then finally, we have the support of our county executive to really begin a more robust replacement and renovation of our schools. So we're asking for planning for the Chesapeake City Elementary School, probably, if not the oldest, one of our oldest schools and really in need of replacement. We are in the process of negotiating that project, and we would like to have the planning for that. We do have the county executive support. So, again, we wish to commend you for your significant support of Cecil County. We've had 30 superiors in 10 years for our excellent maintenance program and think that we're a very good investment for your for the tax dollars that comes from the state. With that, I'll answer any questions on our project.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yeah, the treasurer is always interested in what you can export as far as good practices, and I would like to applaud you for the annual awards luncheon you hold each June to show appreciation for the hard work and dedication of your maintenance and operations personnel.
Yes, and the Board of Education and the entire leadership team attend that, and we do we commend various schools. We have the cleanest school awards, the most improved awards, and really make a big deal out of that. They work very hard to maintain the buildings all year long, and, of course, the summer work is incredibly challenging.
Yeah, saying thank you.
I will do that.
Sometimes is
Mr. Lambert, who's here with me today, will thank his team.
Where is he? Oh, great. Wow. And then I just had a quick question. Is the what about the new Chesapeake City Elementary School, the requested planning approval?
Correct.
Is that on track, and are you going to use Gilpin Elementary as a prototype?
The plan is to do just that. And that's why we want to get it underway, so that this will it will be the same prototype, seated on a obviously different topography. So there may be some adjustments, but that is the plan, to use the Gilpin project as a model.
That's great.
One of the best counties in the state for school maintenance.
Thank you very
much. Thank you very much. We want to congratulate the whole county, but we especially want to recognize Calvert Elementary for receiving the superior rating for 2017. And state inspectors noted the exceptional condition of the classrooms and mechanical spaces. And we want to congratulate Principal Elise Harrigan and Head Custodian Doug Reynolds. We've got a resolution from the Board of Public Works to honor them. I don't know if they're here, but
they're not, but we will make sure at a Board of Education meeting they're honored. I do have some of my staff
here. Yeah, let's take a quick picture with your staff and then present it to them.
Thank you very much. Are they looking great here? Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. And not to be outdone by the comptroller. I've got my own very fancy one. And I'd like you to pass on to
thank you very much.
Here, he's got his stuff. He's got those little cheap ones over there if you want to get one of them. I'm just messing with
you. It's amazing. It's hard out.
It's hard out. It is. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. Now we're moving on to Frederick County. I see the county executive is there with us. And
oh, good.
Whole team. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, and Comptroller Franchose. My name is Brad Young. I'm president of the Board of Education for Frederick County. Accompanying me today, as you said, is our superintendent of schools, the superintendent of the year, Dr. Terry Aubin, our county executive, Jan Gardner, our chief operating officer, Paul Lebo, and delegate Carol Krim. I'd like to take this time to thank the members of the Board of Public Works for the state's ongoing support of our school construction program. Over the years, the state has funded our construction program and prioritized by our board at the level and supports our capital program. In those times when state funding was not available at an adequate level, we've been very fortunate that our county government forward-funded many of our projects. Comptroller Franchot, you mentioned recently the school that you were in and you felt the energy. If you haven't been up yet, we just opened our beautiful new Frederick High School. And I tell you, you get goosebumps walking through just seeing the energy and enthusiasm of the students and having that new state-of-the-art facility. So we hope that you get an opportunity to visit
that. I got goosebumps when I went through the old school because it was so well taken care of.
Yes, yes.
And that is a feather in everyone's cap in Frederick County.
They did an outstanding job. As you will see, our priority funding request this year is for reimbursement of two Ford-funded elementary school projects that added much-needed seating capacity to our highest residential growth areas. Both of those, Sugarloaf Elementary and Urbana, takes care of the overcrowding at Urbana and Centerville Elementary Schools, which are both at more than 135% of capacity. And Butterfly Ridge, which will relieve the western end of Frederick, which is also well over 100% of capacity. We cut the ribbons. I'm sorry, I'd like to cut the ribbons. We break ground on those tomorrow afternoon. We're not just experiencing growth in those areas. This year, Frederick County Public Schools has an enrollment of more than 42,000 students, an increase of more than 800 over last year, which was on top of the 600 growth that we had of last school year. Our six-year capital improvement program reflects this growth with eight new schools or addition projects that adds approximately 4,200 seats. FCPS has more than 40 schools that are in whole or part older than 25 years. Our six-year capital program includes five major capital projects that either renovate or replace aging schools. In addition, our program prioritizes more than 80 systematic projects over the next 6 years. We're also trying to do our part to be stewards of the taxpayers. Our approach to school construction models best practice management and is consistently applauded by state officials. We work creatively to reduce costs through the use of prototype designs, value engineering, and partnerships with our community. We also place a high value on maintaining our facilities. 60 of our maintenance staff have obtained the facility management professional credential issued by the International Facility Management Association, and we're consistently recognized for the excellence of our maintenance programs. With that, I want to turn it over to our county executive to make a few comments now about our funding efforts and our collaborative relationship with county government.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Kopp, and to all your staff and everyone else who's here. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm very pleased to be here to express our support for Frederick County's fiscal year school construction request. I'm not going to go through the specific projects because President Young and Dr. Aubin will do that for you. I'm very proud of the excellent working relationship Frederick County government has with Frederick County Public Schools. This collaborative relationship allows us to problem solve, think innovatively, and keep our schools on time and on schedule, which helps us to save money. In Frederick, an investment in Frederick County schools is money well spent. Frederick County has a proven track record of responsibly managing our projects, meeting timelines. We use proven prototype designs. We forward fund the state share until the state can reimburse us. And we maintain our schools well to the state's strict maintenance standards. We're very good stewards of tax dollars. In fact, in Frederick County, we like to say that we squeeze a dime out of every nickel. So while we're here to ask you for money, I also want you to be aware that we strive to save money. We strive to save both county and state tax dollars. So after school construction costs rose significantly, I appointed a school construction work group and tasked them to come up with ways to save 8 to 10% on our elementary school prototype. Their final report is out. I'm going to leave copies for you and your staff. And they did achieve that, and they came up with some very creative ways to save money, and I think it's important to share that. So I urge your support for Frederick County's priority projects for fiscal year 19. I thank you for all you do for our students and for our schools. And with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Alban.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. We're here together as a team because, as you indicated earlier, it takes a team, and it takes all of us working together to achieve this. I recognize that we're running a little late, so you have written copies of our testimony. Just wanted to highlight a few key things for you. The funding of Sugarloaf and Butterfly Ridge, as Mr. Young indicated, very critical to growing the seats that we need in our growing county. The next priority on our list is the initial funding for Urbana Elementary School's replacement. This is a school that was built with the open space design in 1960 and had additions in 65 and 75. Since then, there really have only been minor systemic improvements made there. Our team does a facility assessment of all of our buildings, and Urbana Elementary School was our top priority. In addition to renovating that building, it will also add about 200 seats to, again, help us deal with enrollment growth. We are also asking, as our fourth priority, for planning approval, no money yet, just planning approval, for the Rock Creek School replacement. This is the school that houses our most medically fragile and significantly special needs students. It was constructed in 1972 and, again, has had no significant renovation in the past 45 years. And, again, that's a credit to our maintenance team and what they are able to do. The county has funded the design for this project in FY18. We also then have as priorities funding for many important systemic renovation projects, roof replacements at several schools, HVAC projects, a boiler replacement, and a sewage pump station. We thank you for your partnership. We hope that you can see the partnership that we value very much in our community and our schools. And I just want to reiterate, you have acknowledged maintenance records, and I believe Frederick County is also at the top of that list. While we would have loved to have brought the principal and the lead custodian from the elementary school that you are going to recognize, it is very challenging to pull them out at lunchtime. And so instead, we have our director of maintenance and operations, Mr. Bob Wilkinson, is joining us today, and our manager of facilities maintenance, Mr. Curtis Orndorff, is here as well, and they will be very happy to stand in to receive the citation.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Any questions? How much have you pre-funded this year? You mentioned pre-funding.
We have pre-funded for the two elementary schools a little less than $20 million in construction costs. And so we will continue to pre-fund what's next behind that. So every time we get a dollar back, we're putting another dollar out for the next school. So Brad mentioned to you that we're breaking ground tomorrow on two elementary schools. Well, they're already well under construction. There's steel up already on both of them. And so we really needed to do both those schools at the time, and the only way to do it was to forward fund. So we've been forward funding schools for probably 15 years or more.
And that, is there any, I don't know if you were here when Baltimore City was here, but is there any way to cost out how much that has, in fact, saved the ability to forward fund so that you can maintain
We could cost that out because doing a school now versus in the future actually generally yeah. saves money because school constructs generally rise. So we could cost that out for you if you would like that and send it to you. I'd be happy to do that.
It would be worth knowing.
So we have a whole, we've had an analysis done, and I just don't know the numbers off the top of my head.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I appreciated the testimony of Superintendent and Alvin and also Chairman Young and County Executive Gardner. That's terrific stuff. I see that Oakdale Elementary School has once again earned a superior rating in the 2017 inspection. If I could just read the quote of the inspector. These folks are very, well, they're used to leaving black and blue marks behind them because they don't suffer fools gladly. They just go in and do the 37 tests, and what is ends up in the report. Here's their report on Oakdale Elementary in Frederick County from their 2017 inspection. Quote, this building is an example of how comprehensive maintenance management, good preventive maintenance, excellent on-site custodial care, and an environment of teamwork can ensure exemplary conditions in a school year after year after year. I mean, hats off. Mr. Chairman, if you have an annual thank you for your team up there, I'd love to swing by. And I understand, Madam Superintendent, that you invest in the professional development of your facility management personnel to support accountability and to provide consistent quality. Your maintenance and operations department has become a leader in the state and a model for other systems. I have to ask you about the process you developed to measure the instructional suitability. I've never heard that term, instructional suitability of classrooms. What exactly did you determine to be the parameters of the optimal learning environment in terms of temperature, humidity, and lighting? And maybe Mr. Lebo, who's the chief operating officer? Maybe you want to just make a quick comment on that. If, I didn't mean to spring it on you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the opportunity, sir. So really, it's a credit to the two gentlemen that are behind me, the ones that are working in the trenches every day, doing the assessments that you talk about with temperature, humidity, and lighting, and really attempting to bring all of our instructional space up to a level playing field for all of our students, whether our buildings are 75 years old or they're a year old.
And once again, I'm associating myself with the remarks of the governor and the treasurer as to what can we do to promote best practices. I know what we can do. You know, figure out how you guys can give a seminar to your peers around the state and how you do it. And I think it's management and leadership as opposed to just, you know, do we have 10 people rather than 9 people? So success breeds success, and if there are any ideas you have, and the treasurer wanted to join me and the governor and promoting what you're doing. I don't mean to say we don't need a systemic program, Madam Treasurer, and more money and more staff. I'm all for that, but they're already doing it. Madam County Executive, if I were you, I'd put it all over my campaign literature. Yeah, because,
Mr. Cooper, I did want to add to your question.
Unless Mr. Young is running against you. I'm sorry.
Mr. Young is running for retirement. Just wanted to add that in relation to your question about an awards program, we do have an awards program every summer. I'm always honored to attend where we recognize all the schools. Every school is evaluated, and there's different levels of achievement that they have, and there's many schools that receive the highest level every year. And you can tell when you go to that because it's all the custodial staff, their supervisors, their building managers, the pride that they take in giving a great facility for our students who are our customers, that they can go every day and feel good about the facility that they're in. That's why it works.
Something unique in Frederick County that you guys have put together, and it's very commendable and should be exported around the state.
Thank you. Could I just build on that? The other thing I find really interesting is your note. I guess it's yours, Brett. I don't know. But We continue to rely on innovative training and skill development to develop in-house staff. If your program of assessing capacity of the staff and then building it is something that could be shared, because I think you heard, I mean, this is a concern across the state, keeping up the caliber of staff.
Yeah, always internal building is important because, as you know, in Frederick County, the cost of labor has gone up, and finding people to fill positions is not always easy. We have a program, you heard about Rock Creek. We have another program called Success, which is for many of our disabled and challenged students after they graduate or finish at age 18. This teaches them actual life skills. And 2 years ago, there was a graduate, and in that program, he learned the life skills, and he is now a custodian at one of our middle schools. He's living on his own, paying his own rent, paying tax dollars, and that never would have happened without the development that he got through our school program. So it is a way of helping us develop and keep good people in Frederick County.
I mean, it's something to look at, bringing these ideas together.
And I think in terms of the professional learning for our support staff, you have to make that a priority just as you do for your instructional staff. And I really do want to credit Mr. Lebo, Mr. Wilkinson, and Mr. Orndorff because they have put together professional learning plans. And it has shown our employees a career pathway. Mm-hmm. Just because you're here with training and with these kinds of supports, here's where you could go. And that kind of professional growth within the field is very important to them as well.
And I just want to note for the record that having the county executive here is very helpful. And it's a mystery to me why the county execs from the other jurisdictions have so much trouble finding this, because this is something they should all be attuned to. But thank you. And Mr. Young, thank you also, Chairman Young. Yeah, it makes a difference.
It does. Having the great working relationship with the county is again, it shouldn't be unique, but it seems like in some areas it is. We have a great relationship. They have been extremely supportive in building the capacity we need. The forward funding, again, these two buildings, we drove by one yesterday, the steel is up. We are officially cutting the ribbon tomorrow. We just got done cutting the ribbon, or doing the shovel tomorrow, but the building is up. And it will be open for school year next year on time and ready to go for those students to relieve those issues that we have in those areas. So we couldn't do that without the cooperation of the county.
And I have to point out, I want to go back to this saving money on building school because we're all interested in that. So we put the construction people together between the county and the private sector, and one of the things they recommended is we reduce the volume of our elementary school prototype, literally save space between floors and reduce the height of the classrooms. They did this with the HVAC systems, the sprinkler systems, and all that in mind, and it saves $2 million on the prototype. It's not a little bit of money. It's a lot of money. And so we try to make money go farther in Frederick County, and I think that's important, too.
On the sheet I have here, it says on the some of the unique challenges that you face, you have $457 per square foot construction cost, which is some of the highest in the whole state. So, I mean, it's great that you're trying to squeeze more out of a dollar, but the costs are some of the highest we've seen anywhere.
A lot of that has to do with site work and the cost of that going up significantly. And just about anywhere we dig, we find rock, which adds a lot to that. And we don't have a lot of flat areas to work with. So I think that's a big part of why you see that discrepancy.
Thank you very much. Now, we have a presentation to give to Oakdale Elementary, and I know there. If we could just get the whole group up here, and you can pass it on to them.
Congratulations. I don't see.
I want the superintendent.
We've got to balance out here, so it's hard to get by.
There we go.
You can give it back.
Thank you very much. We appreciate this. Thank you for all you do.
Yeah, well, I think they said they wanted to skip through speech more real quick. Can you handle it? Make sure we go.
Right. Oh, that's fine.
Allegheny County. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was happy to be in Allegheny County. It's good to see you guys again. It's been a long time, a couple days now.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Well, good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, Comptroller Francho, Dr. Sam and Dr. Grell, members of the IEC. I'm David Cox. I'm Superintendent of Schools in Allegheny County, and I have here with me our Board President, Mrs. Laurie Marchini, Delegate Jason Buckle, who is representing the Western Maryland Legislative Delegation, Commission President Jake Shade, and our Facilities Director, Mr. Vince Montana. So thank you for the opportunity to be here today and bring you greetings from Western Maryland. And Governor, again, thank you for being with us last week to tour our Career and Technical Center and to see the new PTEC program that's up and going, and for sharing with us and visiting Western Maryland. I know that you're running behind schedule, so I'll try to be as brief as I can, and then to leave time for any for any questions that you.
He gets cranky if you
okay. I'll do my best though. So I didn't bring a Snickers. I'm sorry. So just I'll cut to the chase then. So we're here today, first of all, to thank you, the Board of Public Works, the IEC, for your support of our projects. And the big thing that's happening, of course, right now is the construction for the replacement of our Allegheny. We brought pictures today. So at your place, you have some progress photos. And I know, Comptroller, you were there earlier. And then Secretary Brinkley has been there recently in September. And as well, he attended the groundbreaking. So we did break ground in May of 2016 for that project. And we're scheduled to open in the fall of 2018, next year.
Exciting.
So we're real excited about this project. This replaces a 1926 vintage high school that really had come to the end of its useful life. One of the things that we pride ourselves for is try to squeeze every drop of life out of our facilities that we can, and then we also value being good stewards of all the resources that you've generously apportioned to us. So,
thank you for that. And then we're so happy to fund the new school.
Absolutely.
But 1926 is kind of a fairly new building because
Secretary
Churchill is maintaining a 243-year-old building right here, and it still looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does look good. Absolutely. Our request today is for the final phase of state funding in the amount of $3.9 million to complete the Allegheny replacement project. And then also for $884,000 for the roof replacement at Bel Air Elementary, which is a 1994 vintage roof. And that's the short of it. But we would also like to say we don't have a date yet, but as soon as we do, we want to invite all of you to come out for our celebration for the groundbreaking, and hope that as many of you, we know your schedules are busy, but we would love to have you to celebrate this this victory for our community with the replacement of Allegheny High School.
Absolutely.
So,
I congratulate you. I remember when you came in, all came in with a project for the high school and the pictures of the old school. It's a new day.
It is.
Do you have a guesstimate on the timing of when we might be celebrating that?
I don't know, Mr. Montana. I don't.
The dedication?
Yeah.
We'll certainly work around your schedule.
Absolutely.
I don't want to slow it down. I'm just
What we can do is when we see a window coming up, we'll share that window with you, and then we'll work with your schedule. So we'd love to have all of you there.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Allegheny County? They came all the way down from Mountain, Maryland to see us today.
Well, I just want to underscore that how grateful I am to see Dr. Cox, Superintendent Cox here, and President Marcini and President Shade and Delegate Buckle and, of course, Vince Montana, who we know from many, many years of work. I think it's terrific you're here, and Allegheny County stands tall. They used to say about Louis Goldstein, I think the phrase was that he would squeeze a dime so hard that a buffalo nickel jumped out. And, but you guys do that every day up there. And thank you for the leadership that you provide the county, and appreciate the fact that the governor has been out there a lot. And President Jake, do you want to say a word?
We're just so grateful for your continued support. And this building is something that is state-of-the-art throughout the whole state of Maryland. And to have that in Cumberland, we very much appreciate that. So thank you.
And Allegheny alumnus.
That's right. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. He was a fairly recent Allegheny alumnus.
Last year. That's right.
Last year. Actually, I came in 2009, and Jake was playing basketball at Allegheny High School. State championship team.
Awesome.
Yes.
Any questions? Delegate Buckley, you want to say anything?
No, just to simply say how much we do appreciate it. I know the governor's administration has been great. This project required a little bit of special funding, quite frankly, to get there because of the relative contributions that will be made by the county. All of you that have been there and looked at the pictures know that it was simply untenable to continue to educate kids in that particular building because of the age and a variety of problems. And we're extremely excited. We only have three full high schools other than the Career Center in Allegheny County. We were blessed about 10 years ago to consolidate some schools. We built one new school called Mountain Ridge, and this would be the second one. It's a tremendous thing for all of Allegheny County. And I'm here. I drew a short straw. All the members of our delegation were here yesterday for the Spending Affordability Committee briefing. And since they elected me delegation chair foolishly or not, a couple of years ago, they said, well, you have to stay for tomorrow after this.
So, well, thank you for sticking around.
Well, we're very, very happy to be here and very appreciative for all that the folks in the room do for our county.
Well, we're happy to fund this project, and we're appreciative of all the great work of all of you. So thank you so much.
Lori, do you want to just a long drive down?
Echo what the gentleman said. Thank you so much for your continued support and for your continued visits. It means a lot to us, and we really, really appreciate it.
Thank you all very much.
A completely different question. How are the leaves right now? This week is the leaves
last. Well, last week was autumn glory in Garrett County,
and it was warm.
Yeah.
And it was very warm. And I think we're getting there, but we're still pretty green. We're hoping to see more reds. It's really green and brown right now.
We'll be there.
They're more colorful in Garrett County than Allegheny County.
That's right. But it's working.
Thank you.
And you have an open invitation. Anytime you want to come visit, let us know. We'll make it happen.
There is nothing like Western Maryland.
Back.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Calvert County, or Culver County, depending on how you like to say it. That's the way Louis used to say it. Culver. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Delegate, good afternoon.
Governor, Comptroller, Treasurer, I bring you greetings from the Calvert County Board of Education. Our faculty and students that we serve, we have with us today, representing our delegation, Delegate Mark Fisher. We have Board of Education member Don Belinsky, and we have Director of Construction, Chuchita Warner, and Supervisor of Construction, Daryl Bricklow. As we appear before you today, we hope to outline our unique challenges and some of the strengths of Calvert County Schools, and as well as our capital planning priorities for FY19. Calvert County's housing boom ended in 2008 and affected everyone across the country, and we're still struggling to bounce back from that. So one of our challenges has been a declining enrollment. The last 10 years, our enrollment has declined almost 9%. This present school year, we're down about 90 students from our number from last year. At the same time, the percentage of students on free and reduced lunch has increased by almost 50%. During the last 10 years, we've built one new elementary school and replaced two schools. We have a third replacement school currently under construction. This represents an average replacement rate of one school every 3 years. Now, the level of funding from our local government does not allow us to build any more frequently than that. At this rate of funding, our current Northern High School, which is scheduled to be completed in 2020, maybe its replacement wouldn't be available until 75 years later. Additionally, almost one-third of our building inventory was constructed in the 90s, and during that period of steady population growth. As this large percentage of inventory continues to age, we're starting to see a lot of systematic issues that are going to require capital dollars toward systematic renovations. These are some of the challenges we face. However, our funding stream has become more limited over time. We've been forced to look for some innovative ways to make our buildings last longer, and I think we've been pretty successful, and most folks are aware of that. Well, we take pride in our buildings, and our building service workers and maintenance department act as if they own those buildings. Currently, 50% of our Calvert schools score superior, the remaining 50% in the good category. In fact, the only building inspected in 2017 is Northern Middle School, built in 1976, and its score was a good 89.33 in the latest rounds of inspections. This speaks a lot for our maintenance and building service crew. Our buildings are the foundation of the community, and our staff understands that when they take pride in caring for our buildings, the students that walk through those doors will also take pride in their schools. Secondly, we're good stewards of the citizens' dollars. Over the last 10 years, we have seen a decline of enrollment, but we've learned to maximize our maintenance budget. And our operations cost per square foot has decreased by 10%. We have also reduced our energy consumption in that time by 16%. Thirdly, we believe in a combination of preventive maintenance and frequent systematic projects equal good planning. The Board of Public Works has received information on the average condition index, the FCI, for each school district. And Calvert's overall FCI is 18%, which is very low. And much of that is attributable to our preventive maintenance and successfully addressing systematic issues as they arise. We identify and complete multiple projects with qualifying through the Aging Schools Program, QSAV, and local energy initiatives. Based upon the general rule of thumb, that facility's FCI increases by 2% every year. The average FCI in Calvert County really should be 42% rather than 18%. Finally, I want to highlight our ask for today. We have three projects in our current CIP. Our first priority is continued funding for Northern High School. It is currently 40% complete and on schedule, and for FY19, we request $9,312,000. Our second and third priorities are both systematic renovation projects. Priority two is for the replacement of chillers and cooling tower at Patuxent High School, which soon will be our youngest high school at 22 years old. The equipment has reached its life cycle and we require $397,500 in state funding for a total project cost of $750,000. Priority three is for the replacement of the building automation system and HVAC equipment at Southern Middle School. The existing pneumatic controls are an outdated technology prone to leaks, and the new controls will be state-of-the-art digital equipment. It will require $311,640 in state funding, a total project cost $588,000. We take seriously this enormous task before the Board of Public Works. We hope that we have been successful in demonstrating our commitment to taking good care of our facilities and an eye toward fiscal stewardship. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Delegate Fisher or anybody else in your group like to say anything?
Just here to report. The superintendent of Calvert County happy to be here.
If I could just say, Governor, how pleased I am with Calvert, because you tie for the best in the state on the five-year average of maintenance scores. But I do have a thing I'd like to flag for you for Northern Middle School. Apparently it has some, in the latest inspection, sagging ceiling tiles caused by roof leaks and a lack of humidity control. I trust someone's going to correct that. I know you want to build a new school, but I hope you're not like some jurisdictions in the state that say, hey, you know, we're going to build a new school, so why repair it?
No, we keep we try to keep up with ceiling tile gets stained occasionally from condensation, and that is perhaps one of the reasons why our work is generally.
Yeah, but you should, if you could get back to us, just have someone send us a note saying, yeah, we.
I'm sure we have. On it, but we will get back to you.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you all very,
thank
very
you much.
Congratulations also to the school system on your excellent park report.
Thank standing. You very much. We appreciate your notice.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you all very much. And last but not least, before we break, Carroll County. Carroll County is the only thing standing between us and a bathroom break.
It's always a good position.
Don't want to put
in.
Any pressure on you.
You don't think the thing about it.
Good afternoon, Mr. Governor, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Kopp. My name is Steve Guthrie. I'm superintendent of Carroll County Public Schools. First of all, thank you for last year's over $3 million in state participation of our projects. I want to briefly cover our current request and then briefly, very briefly, look at the six-year capital plan. As I brought to you in the last several years, we're focusing on systemics, two roof projects for elementary schools and elementary HVAC. We are beginning to look at our science classrooms, so I have two high school science renovations, and then a major electrical upgrade and replacement to our largest high school, Westminster High School. Some of the equipment is original to the school, which was built in the early 70s, and also we want to add a generator, an expanded generator to that system for to cover all systems. However, the next year, we have two big projects that I wanted to just briefly discuss that you'll be seeing. One is adding square footage and modernizing our current Career and Technology Center and excellent programs. And the second is we have a middle school that was built in 1938 as part of the Roosevelt Jobs Project that was renovated in 75, so it's 40 years past the renovation, and we're going to have to deal with a modernization. Or the board is exploring possibilities of, because we've continued declining in enrollments, creating a new grade configuration, a K-8 school, and retiring that school along with another older elementary school, and building one school to replace two, but with a grade configuration of K-8. With that, those are our overview of our major projects over the next 6 years and what we're asking for. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for being here today. And your submission talks about the declining enrollment. You mentioned that and the loss of revenue. Under the new IEC's proposed state local cost share percentages, Carroll County is slated to lose about 4%. How is that loss going to impact you?
Well, it affects us in a number of different ways. Because of the declining enrollment, county revenue was down as well, and so their participation in our project is limited. So it just means we have to stretch the dollar that we get further, and that's where we're looking at creative things such as creating a grade configuration change instead of just building a new or modernizing an existing building, and looking at, instead of a new Career and Technology Center, an addition and a modernization to try to make those projects as cost-effective as we can, but also adding the appropriate improvements to the instructional programs.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah. How much is the 4%?
Well, it drops from, 59 to 55, and it depends on our project, but it's I don't know offhand, Mr. Comptroller, but it's millions of dollars in state participation.
Good. Well, thank you for your efforts, and if you tell your elected colleagues back there that it would be nice to have, much as I want to get to the bathroom, it would be nice to have some of them show up just to support the concept. And then I haven't asked it all day, so I will just before I get out of here. How is school after Labor Day doing? It's so popular. I hear about it all over the state, that it's going forward seamlessly. I know you and others had some concerns, but, you know, doesn't victory have 1,000 fathers?
We have had a very good start. We have had a very good school year. There doesn't appear this year to be any interruption in our instructional program. We may struggle at the end of the year depending on how many emergency closing days we have, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Let's start helping make it noteworthy because it's very popular, and undermining it, not that you do that, Mr. Superintendent, but undermining it just really, I think, is a non-starter. And I thank you for putting the thing through because I think it's good for the state.
Let me just, I wasn't going to bring that subject up, but since the comptroller did, let me just say that the legislature took a look at whether we should start school after Labor Day. They passed legislation and created a mandated commission that was appointed by Governor O'Malley that included education experts, principals, teachers, and they voted 13-2 to start school after Labor Day and to mandate that. And Governor O'Malley supported it, President Miller supported it, and 13 out of the 15 members of the legislative commission, this was happened before I got here. That was the vote in 2014 when I was running for governor, and the legislature failed to act on it because the teachers' union didn't like it. We finally did what everybody wanted to do, and 83% of the people in Maryland approve of it strongly, including overwhelming majority of teachers, students, and parents. And so there's a few administrators that didn't think it was such a good idea, but they've been outruled by almost everyone that's looked at it. So thank you very much. Any other questions for Carol
County? I didn't know this subject would be brought up.
Me either.
But I'm on record and will continue to be on record thinking that that decision was the responsibility of the school authorities, the locally elected school boards, and the legislature did not accept the report, and speaking for people from whom I've heard, it's a mixed bag because people now have to spend more to send their children to another program for the last week. Yes. That's a problem. And we'll see in the counties in the next year how they deal with the problem in terms of what's going to have to be cut out of the calendar. But I do congratulate you on a well-run school system.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think we're done with Carroll County, but before we break for lunch, I'd just like to address that. The commission was put together and appointed by the legislature.
Absolutely.
Their commission decided,
recommended
13-2. The governor, the previous governor, supported it, and did the experts that studied it. And I'm sure that they're going to find a way to deal with the calendar. It's still 180 days. It doesn't cost you any more for any additional time. It doesn't lose any school lunches. It's still 180 lunches. All this stuff is nonsense. Anne Arundel County, for example, threatened to eliminate spring break when they have 16 teacher union days. This is, I would say the school superintendents and board members who keep talking about this are really doing themselves a disservice because the people in their school systems overwhelmingly, strongly support this, and it's not going to change.
Governor, I respect your opinion, and we'll see how it works out. I just happen to differ.
Very good. All right. We're going to break for lunch. Thank you.
All right.
Make sure we're all ready.
Yes.